Miss McCleavy continues her lecture. Let Miss Worthington be an example to us all. Fine, then, I mumble. I'll be like Felicity, all action and very little thought. Angry, I raise my bow and let go my arrow. Gemma! Anne shouts. In my haste, I didn't notice Miss McCleavy passing before my target. Quick as a fly, she puts up a hand to stop the arrow that would surely penetrate her skull. She gasps in pain. Blood pools on her white glove. The girls drop their quivers and arrows and rush to her aid. I follow dumbly behind. She's on the ground, pulling at her glove. There's a neat hole in her palm. It isn't deep, but it is bloody. Give her a handkerchief, someone yells. I offer mine. Miss McCleavy takes it, shooting me a cold, angry look. I am so sorry, I stammer. I didn't see you.
Do you see anything, Miss Doyle?
Miss McCleavy says, wincing. Should I fetch Mrs. Nightwing? Felicity asks, putting her back to me. Miss McCleavy fixes me with a glare.
No. Continue with your practice. Miss Doyle may help me dress the wound, as penance.
Yes, of course, I say, helping her to her feet. We walk in silence. When we reach the school, she has me fetch bandages from Bridget, who can't resist a lecture about how it's God's punishment on Miss McCleavy for teaching us something as unnatural as archery.
She ought to be teaching skill with the needle, or those lovely little watercolours, if you ask old Bridget, though no one ever does, and more's the pity. Here's your bandages. Mind you put them on tight.
The dressing in hand, I race back to Miss McCleavy, who has washed her hand and is using a tea towel to stop the bleeding. I've brought the bandages, I say, offering them. I don't know what to do. Miss McCleavy regards me as if I'm the village idiot.
I shall need you to dress the wound, Miss Doyle.
Yes, of course, I say. I'm sorry. I'm afraid I've never... Miss McCleavy interrupts.
Place it across my palm and wrap it completely around my hand. That's it. Now cross over and repeat. Ah! Oh!
I've pushed too hard on the wound. Sorry, I'm sorry, I say. I continue, securing the bandage by tucking in the edge.
Now, Miss Doyle, if you would be so good as to fetch me another glove to replace this one. They are in my wardrobe in the top drawer on the right, she orders. No dawdling, Miss Doyle. We've a lesson to resume.
Miss McCleavy's room is modest and clean. Still, it feels strange to be beyond the baize door where the teachers live. I feel as if I am trespassing on sacred ground. I open the mahogany doors of the large wardrobe and find the top right drawer. The gloves are where she said they'd be, in a neat line, orderly as soldiers. I make a selection and take one last look around the room to see if there are any clues to the mystery that is our new teacher. What is notable is how little there is. No personal touches, nothing to suggest anything about her. Hanging in the wardrobe are tasteful suits, skirts, and blouses in grey, black, and brown, nothing that would draw attention. Her bedside table holds two books. One is the Bible, the other is poetry by Lord Byron. There are no photographs of family or friends, no paintings or sketches. Odd for an artist. It is as if Miss McCleavy has come from nowhere and belongs to no one. I am just about to leave when I spy it. The case that Miss McCleavy insisted upon carrying herself the night she arrived. It's sleeping there, just under the bed. I shouldn't. It would be wrong. I close the door to her room quietly and pull the case from its hiding place. There's a latch. Most likely it is locked, and so that will be the end of it. My fingers tremble at the latch, which opens, I'm surprised to discover, quite easily. There is very little inside. An advert for a bookseller's, The Golden Dawn, in London. An odd ring of gold and blue enamel with two serpents intertwined round the band. Stationery and a pen set. A scrap of paper falls to the floor and beneath the bed. Panicked, I am down on all fours looking for it. I reach my hand under the bed skirt, pull it out. It is a list. Miss Farrow's Academy for Girls, the Mackenzie School for Girls in Scotland, Royal College of Bath, St. Victoria's, Spence Academy for Young Ladies. They've all been crossed off, save for Spence. I slip the paper back into the case as best I can, hoping that nothing looks amiss, and tuck the whole thing under the bed again, safe and sound.
If that is your idea of not dawdling, Miss Doyle, I should hate to see you when you are less than quick,
Miss MacLeady admonishes when I return. I do not anticipate that Miss MacLeady and I shall ever become friends now. She pulls the new glove on quickly, wincing as it slides over her injured hand. I am sorry, I offer again.
Yes, well, do try to be more careful in the future, Miss Doyle,
she snaps in her strange burr. Yes, Miss MacLeady, I say, unable to stifle a yawn. Miss MacLeady's eyes narrow at my rudeness. Forgive me, I've not been sleeping well.
More exercise is what you need. Moving about in the brisk air is wonderful for the constitution and for sleep. At St. Victoria's, I insisted my girls take walks and breathe in the sea air no matter what the weather. If it rained, we wore our mackintoshes. In the snow, we wore our coats. Now, let's return to the lawn, if you please.
It is possible that Miss MacLeady hasn't a bone of humour in her body, and I have just become her least favourite pupil. Suddenly, Christmas cannot come soon enough.